The Problem of Chatty Little Traders. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. JP Morgan and Deutsche Bank are prohibiting the use of some chat rooms amid ongoing investigations of currency manipulation. The investment banking arm of UBS did the same last month. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith has been following the story for us. Hello, Stacey.
Hi, David.
Tell me about these electronic chat rooms.
So these are chat rooms that traders use to coordinate with each other. They make it easier for traders in different buildings or on different floors to communicate about deals with clients. And traders also use them to communicate with people at other banks to negotiate prices, make trades, things like that.
And this chat room communication system caught the attention of regulators a number of times.
Yes. Chat rooms have been right in the middle of a lot of investigations into interest rate rigging and the manipulation of foreign exchange markets. And banks have paid really big for these kinds of conspiracies. Since last summer, big banks have paid fines of around $6 billion for rigging interest rates. So banks are seeing controlling chat rooms as a way to curb these problems. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan, actually told employees specifically to watch what they write in instant messages.
And who runs the chat rooms?
Well, Bloomberg is a big one. You may have heard of Bloomberg terminals. These are these fancy setups a lot of traders use, and they feed financial data, and you can use them to make trades, things like that. There are more than 300,000 of them around Wall Street at $20,000 a pop. They have an instant message feature, and Bloomberg is very keen not to lose any lucrative business because of this. So it announced this week that it's going to tweak messaging features to give banks and financial institutions more control over employee communication.
The cost of instant communication. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith, thank you very much. The leader of Ukraine today is welcoming a $15 billion early holiday gift from Russia. After weeks of demonstrations from Ukrainians protesting closer links with Russia versus the European Union, the prime minister said the package from Moscow will help Ukraine return to economic growth. The BBC's David Stern is in Kiev.
Ukraine has gotten $15 billion in loans, and they've also gotten a very big discount on the gas that Ukraine buys from Russia. And Ukraine depends a great deal on Russian gas. They got a 30% discount, which, according to news reports, that means about another $5 billion. That is something that the Ukrainian government desperately needs because they are going through a recession right now. And Ukraine has about $18 billion worth of loan payments coming due next year, so that $15 billion will come in handy.
Ukraine's prime minister said he'll also try to lower corporate taxes while increasing spending on social programs to help heal the battered economy there. Marketplace is listener-supported. I know that just goes in one ear and out the other, but it means it is supported by listeners like you. So to keep our coverage compelling, up to date, up to the minute, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will support your daily dose of business insight from us. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. You can donate by going to marketplace.org by the end of the year, December 31st. Thanks. Business of Wall Street has a lot to do with forecasting the future. With that in mind, I bumped into a clairvoyant on the train from New Jersey and thought we'd have him on. It's actually our regular Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune Magazine. On this, our final visit from Alan for the year, I thought we'd get him to bring his clairvoyance goggles set for 2014. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
All right, 2014, the incredible stock market rally that we've just come off of will continue to climb straight upward.
Well, my device is a little cloudy, so I'm not sure if that's true. The thing I'm good at, though, is telling you about bad stuff, and bond funds are going to be bad, and this new craziness of hedge funds for the masses through mutual funds is going to be disastrous. The fact that someone's willing to take your crummy $5,000, David, and give it back to you when you want to leave, as opposed to locking money up for years from sophisticated investors, that tells you something about the quality of the investment.
All right. We'll see how those work. What about, let's say, the banking system going forward? They've had a rough year. Regulators have been around their necks, but now they must have religion. Now they'll never cross the line again.
Well, actually, at all of the bank shareholder meetings next year, they're going to be singing Kumbaya. It's going to be wonderful, and it's going to be a love fest. Do you believe that?
Not really.
Me neither, but I thought I'd say it and try it out.
It has been a bad 2013 for many banks. Let's see what happens ahead. So the clairvoyant contraption that we're working with here has something about the Fed wrestling with withdrawing the stimulus. Will it finally happen in 2014?
I think it will finally happen in 2014, and the withdrawal symptoms will probably not be anywhere near as bad as people think, just because everyone has been expecting this to happen for so long. Plus, the Fed very likely will have a new vice chair named Stanley Fischer, who is one of the few people around who has said the Fed should not be running its mouth about what it's going to do because it doesn't know what it's going to do. And that's my kind of man.
Alan Sloan, senior editor at large at Fortune Magazine. Have a great Happy New Year.
Happy 2014 to you and yours as well.
And Britain's great train robber is dead at the age of 84. Ronnie Biggs was part of the gang that held up the Royal Mail train from Glasgow to London 50 years ago. He spent decades on the lam in Australia, Brazil, and beyond, and later voluntarily turned himself in for a prison sentence back in Britain. You can read the outlandish stories online. There are books and movies, but my small contribution here is simply this. The great train robber stole £2.6 million sterling in August of 1963. Using historical exchange rates and an inflation calculator I found, I figure that's worth $55 million in today's dollars. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.